लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, no actor, no actress, no director. We are going back to the audience, to the fans and to the reviewers and to the critic people in front of the smartphone. So I say hello today. I think a lot of you know her already from the monthly recap versions. And now I have the gratitude to talk to her on my own. So I say hello to Dahlia from Vertical Films Lover and welcome to my podcast in a private conversation.
This is going to be fun. Hi, Michaela. How are you?
Fine. My broken ribs are a bit hurty at the moment, but fine. It's okay. Could get worse.
Good. Yes, yes. It could always be worse.
Yeah, you know. You know, the
now
thing
with the
is,
vertical, you won't be better tomorrow. It's so hurting.
Yeah, if I would heal so fast in some verticals where they can even stand up after surgery 10 hours later without any scarf, I'm totally happy. Maybe
I would do it. I would live for that magic.
Yeah. Sometimes yes. Sometimes yes. Maybe I should be an alpha. Then I will heal really fast. But the alpha status hasn't reached me yet, so I have to think I need some more painkillers and patience, and I'm not good in patience.
I'm only hopeful Luna. I'm not Luna yet. I'm hopeful Luna.
you're a white wolf, or what kind of wolf?
That's right.
Yeah, we are all still hoping for the billionaire. We are all still hoping for the, you know.
No, I'll take the supernatural powers over the billionaire.
Yeah, that's true. All kind of witchy stuff. I want to be a witch. That would be great. Yeah, but we are just simply audience people, and but I think we run this business kind of because we are the people who brings the money for the verticals. So
exactly.
As you know, that's the reason I want to speak also to the audience people, to want to know what they are doing for this vertical space, not only watching it. And as I said in the introduction, you are also running an Instagram profile called Vertical Films Lover, where you are doing some reviews, some critical posts also for some verticals. So first question I ask everyone in the fan base, when did you trapped into the vertical world? I need to call it trapped because I haven't spoken to anyone yet who didn't get trapped in an ad or something like that. How did you get in?
Trapped. Well, I'll tell you, Facebook and Instagram is exactly where I got trapped.
Okay.
But who trapped me?
Yeah.
Who trapped me is Jackson Tiller and Grace Swanson. And it was May 2024. And I kept seeing Grace and Jackson in I Wish It Were You. And, you know, they have those great interactions where I just wanted to know more. And I would watch up until the paywall, or I would watch whatever preview they would give me on either Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
Until I finally said, I have to know.
And
I bought coins, and I can tell you that it's maybe one of four times that I've ever bought coins to know more.
You are not patient as Because I'm not patient enough to watch verticals with coins and to watch every single day 4 or 5 ads, and then I have to wait till the next day to. No, you're not so patient as I am, I think.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, not at all. I actually would rather put my credit card down and know right now than not know.
Are you the type of when you started watching a vertical, you s watch it straight till the end? Or
For
are
the
you
most part.
kind of break watcher?
No, for the most part. And I'll tell you, unlike a lot of people that got into verticals because of something that kept them at home and it kind of got them through it, I understand a lot of people, had a defining moment that caught them,
Yeah.
caught them by surprise, and they were like, I really need this to cope, or I really need this to pass the time. And I completely appreciate everyone that had that. Mine was actually pretty fun. I'm on a plane all the time. So on a plane, most of my flights are either 3 hours or 5 hours long. And that's perfect for practically two verticals.
That's a reason because I always surprised in the monthly recap how many verticals you watch per month. But okay, that explains a
Yes.
lot. So, what was your first membership then?
My first membership was Drama Box because that is where I Wish It Were You was.
Did you get a weekly membership there or to try it
I
or?
did. I did. I wanted to make sure that there was enough content for me to want more from week to week.
Yeah.
And I didn't start annual probably until a month and a half later that I realized that there were so many more apps.
Yeah.
And the more I delved into it, the more I realized that some of the bigger apps had so much content, I would almost never run out. Mostly because, for example, my first annual. My first subscription was Drama Box. My first annual was Real Short. And I
So,
realized how much content they had, and they even had some content in Spanish, and I'm fluent in both. So I said, I'm never
okay.
gonna run out. So that's exactly why I went for that.
Are the fluent in Spanish, are they synchronized or is it with origin language Spanish?
They have the same stories with different actors in Spanish.
Ah,
So
okay.
Real Short Latino, Real Short Spanish is
Yes.
actual. They have both. They have some that are repeated, just dubbed in Spanish, but they have some that are actually Spanish actors. So Real Short
Okay.
Spain or Real Short Latino
So
is actually like a telenovela style.
not voice over and synchronized, because there were some verticals synchronized, for example, to German, and the synchronization is so bad you
I
cannot
know some
watch.
of the Latino ones. I was very surprised. They actually are specific actors, and they, it's a complete. It's the same story. It's the exact same story, same script, same everything,
Yeah.
but it's Spanish speaking actors.
Is it only on ReelShort where you can get Spanish ones, or are there more? Do you know that?
Flairflow has Latino now, but I think those are voiceovers.
Okay.
I haven't delved into it because now I have a lot of apps. So I'm not so much looking at whether they're English and Spanish.
Yeah.
I go with what I like, what I'm watching. And like I said, Real Short, the reason it called to me was because it had both and I knew I wouldn't run out. That's why it
Yeah,
was
yeah,
standing.
yeah.
Otherwise, now it's just there's so many verticals.
Yeah, I know. So the typical vertical fan talk, how many apps have you roundabout or on your handy at the on your smartphone at the moment?
Right now, I have about 18. Right now, I
Okay.
have about 18, and I have 15 subscriptions.
15 subscri
Yes.
yearly subscriptions or mostly?
I 10 of them. 10 of them are annual.
Okay.
10 of them are annual, and 5 I will switch back and forth between either weekly or monthly. I'll make sure I have at least 10 to 12 verticals to watch, and more coming, because I binge
And
through them too fast.
the quantity is one thing, how many verticals you can watch, but what makes for you a good quality of a vertical to watch it?
I tend to follow specific actors, specific directors. Sometimes now I've gotten even to the production. I'll follow a specific production company. because I'm familiar or I have confidence that the genre that they will pick or that the story that they will tell will be different than just more of the same. Sometimes I'm caught in a specific app and I'm watching and I'll watch some of the other tropes, but now I've gotten to where I'm a little bit more discerning to watching just specific actors, and I'll watch specific genres. And but for the most part, when I'm on a plane, it's, oh, this is coming up next. Sure, I'll just keep it while I'm, doing something else on my laptop or something.
Yeah, okay. So it's
There's
more.
a big difference for me when it comes to watching. It's either I'm watching
Yeah.
and something really grabs me that I'm going to review, or it's a specific actor that I love, or it's background noise. And sometimes if it's a rewatch, it'll be background noise.
What kind of genre you prefer? Or doesn't it matter for
It
you?
doesn't matter. I will always go for first if I haven't watched it in a day or two or something, and I say I really feel like watching, it'll be probably a werewolf. Supernatural and Mafia are my two absolute favorite. I don't really care for the banquet set up, arranged marriage, CEO, secret CEO type thing. But there are plenty that I do love, so I can't even say that I won't watch it. It's just not my first.
Okay. And what about the stupid titles? You know, sometimes the title is so stupid that I turn in because I only want to know what's the story behind this stupid title. And sometimes the title is so, kind of disgusting. For example, there was one vertical, my ex's uncle put quadruplets in me or stuff like that, where I thought, oh, come on, really? Really? Such a shitty title? No.
I think it's part trying to be different and get clicks. I mean, it's like it isn't any different than the news writing a clickbait title that'll get you to click and see what's going on, and you realize that, such and such is canceled, and then you click on it and it just means that it's canceled for three episodes. You know what I mean? So clickbait titles are one thing. I'm very thankful for trailers now. A lot of the ones, a lot of the apps will have that first episode be a trailer. So it tells you a little bit about the vertical and you can decide whether to go on or not. So if they continue to do certain little things, like for me, trailers, I love. The pictures, I'm glad that they've, moved away from a lot of the AI pictures. I love seeing who it is that's in there. So there are certain things that I can get beyond the title if I can have those few other things that help me make that decision. But a title, of course, that's super fun to click on it and see, sperm and a millionaire. I think there was one that said something about lick my feet, and I actually.
I think the thing is, when I started watching verticals in 2023, and there haven't been any trailer. Also, no, Real Short, for example, has now this short description of the shows where you also can get some credits, who's the main actor, the lead actors. When I started watching verticals, this thing wasn't there, and so for me, it's a bit easier to watch now. As you said, the trailer, or read. Or read the short description to see if the story probably can hook me or not. But
Well, in 2024 and 2023, what we really had was social media. Social media was the hook. And really, if they got you to either appreciate the actor or actress and how they looked, either aesthetic, or it was a dramatized enough hook, then you would be like, okay, I want to know what else. But otherwise now, even you, with as many as you've seen, we tend to be a little bit more discerning. We tend to be a little bit smarter about it. It's not just about, what can you hook me on Instagram? Because on Instagram, I'm usually doing something that comes with verticals.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, we are both watching more than 1 year. After 1 year, I think we've watched so many verticals to new kind of how the story will go on in verticals, because to be honest, there are not so many story changes in this last year.
There's not, but if you like the actor or if you like the writer or the director, blah blah blah, whatever, there are nuances. And a perfect example is the 99
Oh,
heartbeat,
yes.
99 forgiveness, 99 reasons. There's three, and I love all three.
Yeah,
And
I watched all three
the
of
actors
them.
that are in all three, I think, are fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I have, and I've been preparing it probably for about a week and a half, is I have a deep dive on the differences among the three.
But
So I have a
this.
post I'm going to put together that says it's not only the actors, it's not only the story, how they changed the story. And I want to try and hunt down the original from China to see how they changed it, and for those reasons, how they hooked someone.
I think it's in some verticals you see directly which director is behind it, because sometimes every director has his own kind of small language he puts everywhere in some scenes and stuff like that. And I really appreciate that the act or the directors are kind of fantasy loaded to make it their vertical and do it kind of more special. But also the other thing is, I watched a few verticals with a shit story and the cast was great, but the great cast couldn't rescue the shitty story
And there's
also.
plenty, and there's plenty like that. And I will always put the onus on not only the actor, the actor has tried. Sometimes it's just the story. And you have to understand that unless the director is the writer, there is no changing that story. If it's a story that originated in China and you're talking about, Eastern influence versus Western influence and how much they can actually change the story, sometimes it's just not a great story.
And the thing is, if it's then even AI translated, the sentence doesn't make sense anymore. The culture different doesn't make sense for the US version. There is a lot of stuff I think we should keep in mind that that's not the fault of the production team, or that's not the fault of the actors, that the whole thing maybe turn out to be a crap, something like that.
You're
So
not going to love everything, but you know what? If you love a specific actor, then the way I see it is, there was an old movie by Kevin Costner called Waterworld.
yeah, I know this one.
Waterworld sucked. I mean, I know there's people that loved Waterworld, but Waterworld sucked, in my opinion. But if I saw Kevin Costner on the street and he said, at that point, the movie tickets were like 650. But if he walked up to me and said, "I really need 650. Will you spend 2 hours with me?" I'd probably give him $6. So that's how I see it. You know what I mean? Spend a little bit of money to spend some time with your favorite actors. It is what it is. You
Yeah.
better turn out than to be winners.
And for them, sometimes, the thing is, sometimes the actors cannot be very picky. It's a job. They need the money. They
Job.
have to pay rent, stuff like that. Because there were some stories where I was, what? This actor is taking this role, really? And then I talked to them and they said, okay, but to be honest, I need this job. I need the money. But I have to pay rent. It was not such a good time in acting, so
I
they had
honestly see
not to
it
pick.
as, it's almost like when you buy a full LP, an album. Usually buy it for one or two songs. That album has 10 songs on it. Someone else is appreciating those other 8 songs, not necessarily you. So I don't, I tend to not bash someone's kink. That's really my thing is I don't, whatever someone likes. If they don't necessarily match, you know what? Different strokes for different folks, right?
So what was the reason that you s decided to start writing reviews about the verticals you saw?
I joined Instagram almost a year ago, exactly in January, and I really liked some of the opinions that I read. And I said, you know what? I know how to write. I'm a pretty good writer. I'm going to give it a shot. Not that I thought anyone was ever going to listen, but if I could tag a few actors and make them feel good because I liked their stuff and they were able to read what I liked, That's the only reason I did it.
I think it's really important to give the actors feedback, kind of feedback, even if it's kind of critic sometimes, but it has to be given to the actors with some reason so that they can also improve. We
Right.
cannot sugarcoat the whole thing.
Well, they don't always watch their own verticals, I found.
Mostly of them don't watch. I only spoke to two actors who told me that they watched minimum one completely, but most of them said, no, I don't watch it.
And some of them really just don't like to see themselves on screen. It's
Yeah.
not that it's not anything to do with the subscription or the paywall or anything. They won't even watch before the paywall. They only watch if it's something that is being promoted on Instagram and they happen to be, by the ad.
Yeah.
Or people really just don't like seeing themselves on screen. I don't like hearing myself. Whenever I listen to the podcast, I can tell when my voice is on and I cringe.
Oh no, it's not so. Yeah, I think the main problem also, for example, Matt Macedo told me, he said, Miela, we live in this vertical. We don't have to take it with us home and watch
Exactly.
it. Some
Exactly.
scenes, yes, because they just want to know how it turned out in the end. But watch the completely whole vertical? No. And
Well, when
I
someone's job is
understand
done and
it.
they walk away, that's really it is. It's their
Yeah.
job. And
Yeah.
sometimes at the end of the day, they just want to walk away and not
Yeah.
really think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the reviews are really important. Do you also write in your reviews if it's needed some kind of critic, or are you just reviewing the nice ones?
No, I definitely do. My rating system is normally from 0 to 5, and then I have some boosters. I don't tend to review anything less than a 1.5 or 2,
Yeah.
because I think at that point I'm kind of turning it off.
Yeah,
Really,
yeah.
I'm not really finishing it. But even 1.5 or 2s, that's usually with excessive. It's not even excessive violence, because if violence carries a story forward, I'm all about watching it. But if it's something that's excessive just for shock value, then I'll write about it, because I think that the production companies or even the original storytellers, whether the review gets to them or not, I don't care. But it's so that someone knows that, hey, I paid attention and X company has come out with 10 or 15 verticals in the last 12 of them that I couldn't watch. It's because of this reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tend to be pretty critical of the ones that I need to be critical on, and I'm pretty fair. And then I do, of course, my fives and sixes that I absolutely love.
The thing is, because some reviewers are only doing the good reviews. And I think it's also needed to be some critical, because in other ways, how should the apps or the companies get to know what we don't like and what we like.
Well, it's not just that. And we don't realize everybody involved in we, meaning me and other reviewers, other critics,
Yeah.
in speaking to casting directors, in
Yeah.
speaking to directors, and speaking to producers. Sometimes they will read the reviews and they'll
Yes.
say, okay, this actor wasn't that great in this type of vertical.
Yeah.
And it'll help them make a decision if they go and watch that vertical and see if anything that I said makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, it's not necessarily my word. I'm saying any reviewers, any critics, if we are able to separate the I really love this actor to this one didn't really light my world on fire.
Yeah.
And here's why. It does help not only the actor, but it helps the casting director, or it helps the production team decide on whether to go with a specific actor or not, because everyone's entitled to an off day.
Yeah, for example, the thing is also, I think the casting director, maybe they cast some types only because they did a lot of verticals already or stuff like that. But I think it's more than a advert. Yeah, I don't know what to say. There are some actors, they did a lot of roles. in the vertical space already, but in some roads they fit really perfectly from the characteristic and stuff like that. And in the other vertical I saw them, I said, oh come on, no, I don't believe him a minute what he's acting now. Not because he's a bad actor, because the character of the role totally don't fit.
Well, and there's actors that can be typecast, and unfortunately some actors do get typecast. Like you always get a specific actor that is, and I'm talking even Hollywood, you get specific actors that are only in mafia roles.
Yeah, because they
You don't see
look
them and you
like
don't see them in anything but, for the longest time, and Al Pacino had to be in a role where he was either part of The Godfather or he was Scarface. Or he was something, because that is just how he was typecast. And it's the actor that can transcend that, really, is the one that will fill almost any role. It's not bad to be typecast. Christopher
No.
Reeve as Superman was typecast for his entire life.
Yeah, but
And you
it's
know what? He's still the number one Superman. So, there's pluses and minuses. It shouldn't necessarily be a negative if somebody is typecast. But yes, if somebody wants a diverse portfolio that they can be either, a mafia don or a werewolf
every time the villain
or
won.
the key CEO or can be a villain. That's the thing. There are some
Yeah.
actors that can play both fantastic. And some
Absolutely.
that are just that apple pie, 100% gold hero.
Yeah, for example, I spoke with Zane Claudio. As long as I know him, he's always the villain. And he told me when we were recording that he just wrapped his first vertical where he's a good guy. And this vertical, I'm really hoping for it. But I'm really excited to see him not as a villain because right at the moment I cannot imagine that he will play a good guy because I only knew him as a villain. But for example, as you said, there are some actors, for example, Molly Anderson, she perfectly fits in both roles. A really great villain one, a villain woman, but also the lovey-dovey housewife.
For the longest time, Kelsey Ann Maskell.
Oh
I
yes, also,
only
yeah.
was villain, and I've seen a couple where she's not, and I realize that she does fit up multiple roles. And that's great. There are certain people that are typecast as that villain, and I'd love to see them grow. But there are some that are so versatile that you just love to see them in whatever they play. And sometimes when they play villain, you're like, no, I really love you. I really love you as a heroine. Don't be a villain.
I think that would be, for me, that would be the situation if even a Cayman Cardiff starts to play a real bad villain. Because he's always the nice one, CEO, big. But he told me he wants deeply to play a villain. So
And he
I.
probably doesn't want to be that, evil whip the woman villain, but he would love to
No.
be something that's more psychological.
Yeah, absolutely. Some tricky.
Anthony Hopkins for the longest time, he was Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He's played so many great good hero roles. So it really is that special actor that can be both. Nick Rotako is a perfect one that
Yeah.
he can play Werewolf Don, he can play Mafia Don, he can play Superhero Deluxe.
Yes.
And then when he decides that he is going to play that negative villain, just get in your head bad guy,
Yes.
he does it.
And he
He
can also be the lovely, caring hero. Yeah, that's a really great example for.
But that's growth also, because if you see some actors when they first started,
Yeah.
almost feel like they were typecast. And as they've grown through 15, 20, 30 verticals, you can see the growth. And that's all about, it's all because of acting classes or experience.
Yeah, I think
And
learning by doing in the vertical space also.
I really do believe that it's just a matter of growth. And I would have never thought that a Sarah Maliski would ever have been a heroine. And she did, and she did. She was great as the
And she
lead.
nailed it, yeah, and she nailed that role.
But after how many villain roles and how many neutral roles? Because really, it's a growth thing. You get typecast into that, and until you can prove yourself and someone takes a chance, that's another thing. If they can see you in so many roles and say, you know what, I'm gonna I want her for something else,
I
or I want
wanna
him for
do
something
something.
else.
Yeah, and I think mostly of them loves to play the villain because
Course,
a
embracement.
lot told me it's fun. No one expected something good from you, but it's not their typical character in private. So the villains are kind of challenging but more fun. But to be not pigeonholed as always the villain, you need to switch. And I think there are a lot of more actors switching now, even
You've got
more.
Lawson Grayson and Brooke Multrum that are
Yeah.
great both. I mean, they,
Yeah.
Brooke is one that can play,
Really, villain.
whiny villain
Yeah.
and super great heroine. So,
Yeah.
I mean, there are some that really embrace both roles, and it's phenomenal to see.
So, which actor or actresses animates you to turn in?
Oh, I have my little collection. I have a miniature
Little,
collection.
your little favorite
I think
collection.
I've already mentioned Nick Rotako and Brooke Multrum. They
Yeah.
are actually two of my absolute favorites. Brittany Marsacek is another female actor that she basically anything she does. I'll watch anything that she does. Guys, there's a few. There's Jackson Tiller. I love watching Noah, but he's a classic. Of course, people love watching Noah.
Yep.
Mark Vega is another one that is an absolute favorite. I mean, anything he does, I think that he is one of those high level actors where he can make a role. Steven Marana, the few verticals that he's been in, I have seen him actually in conventional things as well. Steven Marana and Robert Palmer Watkins are two that I've seen both in the conventional world and in the vertical world. And I love to watch them in either one.
Oh, I love Robert Palmer Watkins. Really.
Yeah, I
That
mean, he
was.
does great in either one, in anything that he does, even in his music. Another musician that does, phenomenal in both worlds is Miles Clahessy.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
he does great horizontal roles as well as vertical roles and singing and, the multifaceted actor that just puts a lot on their resume and is able to grow as an actor, I think we'll continue to make it in this world.
So, when you started watching Verticals and you watched the first one with Jackson, when you finished it, what were your thoughts about this vertical stuff?
I originally thought, wow, okay, there's a whole world of these short dramas that I can watch. Do I really want to invest my time in it? Because at the time, I was a very big telenovela fan. So I watched a lot of Spanish telenovelas. And
Yeah.
that is a time suck. I mean, you are watching every single day for an hour a day. And it's just one of those things. And, with my mother, I would watch 3 and 4 a day. So now we're talking about 4 hours a day, every single day, and like 75 episodes and 100 episodes. So for me is where do I want my time? But the more I realized that they were short enough that I could watch them not necessarily at home, which now I watch at home as well. But it was something that I could do when I was away,
Yeah.
and it was something that I could watch. So I was like, there might be something to this. So I started watching a few more on Dramabox, and then other ones started coming up on my Instagram, and I said, well, let me check out this channel and this channel. And my first three, admittedly, were Dramabox, Real Short, and Good Short.
The classic ones,
Yep,
maybe.
the classic ones. And
Yeah.
I do still have subscriptions in some way or another to the three because it seems like they were the big three. And they still are producing great content. And I think that as they elevate their US team, you can see it in the productions. You
Yeah,
can see
yeah.
it in the productions.
I think the big three is really Dramabox, Real Short, and Good Short, because that was also the first three apps I had on my phone. But lately they are popping up so many new apps, and to be honest, I don't like that there are so many new apps, because for us audience it's kind of difficult when you
Well,
have.
what's going to happen there is they're going to some apps are going to be very genre specific.
Do you think
There's a
so?
brand new one. There's a brand new one now called Gamma Time. that I signed up for. I almost immediately I signed up for a weekly, because one of the writers is the writer of CSI.
Oh, okay.
And it's backed by Miramax, so it, you know, they have some production value behind them. And I really was curious as to how they were going to work the vertical format
Yeah.
into a thriller. And a lot of theirs, like, they now are producing, I think, something that's a Jackie Collins book. And if they can, you know, if they can elevate their story game and still keep it in the vertical, what I call a vertical format isn't necessarily 9 by 16. It's that 40 to 60 reels, still have the hook, still have that story, still have that pacing where it makes you want to see the next one. Obviously, that's the whole key of the vertical drama, short drama. I mean, it has nothing to do, well, I mean, it has everything to do with the 9 by 16, but the fact that it's accessible on your phone and the fact that you can get it episode after episode and watch it in one sitting if you want, or you can break it up if you want. If a story or a film can continue with that type of format, I think that the genres are limitless. And being that that is an American company now, they do not have to depend on the Eastern stories
Yep.
that might not conform to some Western viewers.
Yeah.
You know, they really can make their stories be true crime, thrillers. It's something that people have been asking for, maybe
Yeah.
horror. So, but there's still the one that I saw had a love story involved. It was called The Vengeful Affair, but it was very much a whodunit. It was very much a mystery,
Okay.
and still had the love story entwined in it.
Yeah. So, what do you think? What kind of improvement is needed in the vertical space to get better?
I think it's more a not get better, but to acquaint themselves a little bit with the audience and who is actually watching them. I think that if it is a US company, they will have to see what their audience wants, where the Eastern companies, like a Real Short and like a Dramabox, they're going to put stuff out because they know that there's going to be millions and millions and millions of views. And 16 to 20,000 Instagram people isn't really going to be a drop in a bucket. They really don't
No.
care. Not to
No.
say that they don't care. That's unfair for me to say. They do care, but at the same time, that's not where their bread and butter is, because they do get millions of views. Understand that the Instagram and Facebook community is pocketed by a specific number. It
Yeah.
isn't the 20 million that watched in the
No,
first
no.
week. So those people may not even be on social media anymore. They're just for the app.
Yeah, and we shouldn't forget that there are a lot of audience all over the world. You know,
Exactly.
we on Wordfest, for example, I saw from where they all were, Philippines, Australia, US, Europe, a lot of. So all over the world, the verticals
And
is
that's even China, Japan,
yeah.
India. You're
Yeah.
talking about countries that have billions of people,
Yes.
and I guarantee maybe 1 in 10 has access to social media.
Yeah, surely, surely.
So
And
that's something that we, what our opinion is being voiced as on an Instagram or on a Facebook or a TikTok, you have millions of others that have no access to our voice. So they need to go with the masses.
I think there are still more who got or who will get into this vertical space. Because when I'm
Absolutely.
looking here in Germany, verticals are not very common here in Germany. When I started doing this podcast, one of my cousins sent me a WhatsApp message and says, "Sorry, Miela, but now I have to ask, what are these vertical stuff? Why are you doing this podcast?" And there was a typical point when I said, and she is round about 50, so she's one in the typical average age to watch verticals.
I'm mid-50s. I am the typical person. I am mid-50s. Woman, I'm intelligent. I pay for my own subscriptions. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? I am the typical fan.
Yeah.
I think I am the typical fan.
Yeah.
But you know, it you still have to explain it to so many people.
Yeah, I think it's just at the beginning at the moment, this
For
vertical
sure.
stuff. My doggo. Runter. My dog wants to say hi. Sorry for that. No, I think the problem at the moment is that some of the people don't even know what verticals are. Some of the people, like we are, watch it for a long time that the stories get repeated. So I think it's kind of a start over in a kind of way needed to.
I think it's capturing a different clientele. I can see where a Gamatime would be a vertical channel that my husband would watch because it's true crime.
I don't
And
know.
he understands. He can't even stand Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? He says, "Oh, that's a typical show of who slept with who." But there are shows that he will get into. Like he watches the CSI. So why wouldn't he? There is a little bit of a romance thing involved in it. It's still a mystery. And if he can watch it in an hour and a half and not have to worry about a full season of having to watch every single week, why not? It's a movie. It's a mini movie.
Yeah. Do you know a lot of men watching verticals at the moment? I think
For sure, no.
at the moment it's a women's stuff because
It
of
is.
this fairy tale Cinderella story or something
But
like
I do
that.
believe that Miramax and Disney and a lot of other big companies are looking to change that.
Yeah. You went to the Verticon in LA.
Yes,
What were your impressions of
I
this whole scenery, life in LA?
did. Well, I think that it is fascinating that people would travel, but then again, I've been to a Comic-Con. So, it is an obsession. I call it an obsession, but it's one of those fanaticisms that people feel very connected to an actor or to a story that they feel they want, and they want to go for an autograph, and they hitch on to a specific actor. And I think that's necessary in anything that you watch. If it wasn't for Marvel fans, how many comic books wouldn't be sold? If it wasn't for the witches, Charmed, or what was that? Supernatural had their own con when it's
So,
just. So I really think that there's a fan.
because of whom you went to Verticon, who was your first target at the Verticon?
Who was my first target? Believe it or not, it was Danny Farber. He was my second meet and greet. My first meet and greet was Robert Palmer Watkins.
Oh, I love.
And
I'm
Robert Palmer
jealous.
Watkins and
I'm
Danny Farber
jealous.
were my two absolute must meet. Danny because he's so I mean he's magical, and in everything that he does, I think that he is not only a fantastic storyteller. I think that he, the way he's a director, he's an actor, a singer. I
He's
think the
so
way he multitasks.
creative. He's so creative in everything he does. He's so creative.
And Robert is just to watch him go from a Walking Dead role to, secret CEO, I think is I love to see the difference in roles, how one person talking to them as a normal human being, because they're normal human beings, to talk to them and see how versatile they actually can be in their career, I think is fascinating.
And I think the actors and actresses or directors even, they are happy to meet the community because it's not, I have the feeling, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I have the feeling that this vertical community is kind of different to other film communities because the actors, actresses, and creatives are so connectable. Is I see it when I ask them if they want to join my podcast. There are only two who declined. The rest said, "Oh yeah, totally fine. Let's do this without any
Well, because it's
thoughts."
more exposure. It's more exposure. I mean, can you imagine when and I'm going to use another actress as an example, a Drew Barrymore. Do you know who Drew Barrymore is? So when she was 4 years old, 5 years old, and did Firestarter, we're talking almost 50 years ago, she did Firestarter. At the beginning of her career, she probably would have had a very different demeanor of wanting to do a podcast as opposed to now being this many years in the industry. So I think that is just a way for actors to get their name out there, to connect with their fans. I think that any musician that does a concert, a live concert at a little bar, is very different than a Bon Jovi that does a huge
In
stadium.
a yeah
You
yeah
have more chances to speak to the singer, the local singer at the bar, than you do to Bon Jovi.
yeah but not
So,
everyone likes that, you know.
no, but if you are going to get into entertainment, it is part of it. It is part of it. If you're going to be in entertainment and you want to have any amount of success, I think that there has to be some connection. I'm not talking about it all has to be fan connection. It could all be through social media and you never meet a fan in person ever. It maybe you just aren't that type of person that wants to meet people in person because you have enough with what you do in your shows.
Yeah, and to be honest, they all have their private life also.
Exactly.
And the verticals are so speeded up that they have really good organizing to do verticals, to go home eating, sleeping, learning text for next days. And a lot of them have their own families, so I think
How
it's
many
not.
actors? How many actors in life have you ever read that they're hermits, that they're recluses? They don't really like the public life. You have to wonder. You have to wonder. They were still successful. They were obviously still talented. I think that what an actor chooses to do in their personal life is their personal life. But I think that to make themselves successful, you have to have some type of connection to the outside world, be it by social media with a camera in front of you, or meet and greets. That really you have to have some kind of connection to your fans.
Yeah, you need that, otherwise it wouldn't work. So when you are writing your reviews, do some actor reach out to you when they read the reviews about their shows?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Usually it's just in the form of a thank you. I'm glad you watched. I'm glad you liked it. Rarely do I engage in a super long conversation. It's usually just a thank you, and I'll thank them for their talents, for choosing to share their talents with the world, really. If I come up with something, if I see something on social media and I know that I've read that they like something, if I come across it in my life, sometimes I'll send it and say, hey, look, I thought of you or something. Nick Rotaco is a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan for football. And the first game of their season was against my team, the University of Miami Hurricanes. So I reached out and I said, hey, I hope that won't ruin our relationship.
Did your
And
team win or
yes, my
what?
team won. But now his team is doing better than mine. And we have a healthy, every Sunday morning we kind of check on each other and say, hey, Notre Dame did great, or whoa, I'm sorry that University of Miami lost, or. So it's neat to have that little bit of personal connection. But always with boundaries. You and a really a person that a person that values, let's say, my time and my boundaries is someone that I would continue to want to have in my life. How I think about it with actors, exactly the same. If you
Absolutely.
can have a boundary and you really respect their time and respect what they do and their craft, then an interaction with a fan is fun.
Yeah, and we heard lately that I would say 5% of the audience is kind of nerdy. Let's call it nerdy. But I think mostly of the fans, they are really glad that they are reaching out to them because, the thing is, when you are working so paced and you sometimes are not sure if the role was so good or how a show works out, I think for them it's totally important to get a bit of feedback
Yes.
because I think sometimes they need to have a little bit honey in their life
Of
because.
course, of course. Everyone needs to feel noticed. Anyone needs to feel that what they've done, what work that they've put out is recognized. That isn't just an acting thing. That's me
No.
in sales. When my boss calls me and says, "Oh my God, we just got into this one," I know that it's a result of something that I've, worked really hard as a project to get into a specific store or a specific retailer. And that makes me feel good. Same as doctors. If doctors have a successful surgery, the person that just went under can be very thankful when he comes out of it. But the minute that he comes out of the surgery and says to the family, "Hey, everything was successful," usually it's followed by, "Oh my God, thank you so much." That thank you gives them a sense of accomplishment,
Yeah, and
apart from the fact that the
mostly.
person's still alive, obviously.
Yeah, and mostly the thing is, in times of social media, there are so many haters and the people are hating a lot. But I think it's more important to give them a great feedback. For example, as you said right now with the doctor, I had a heart surgery last year, totally unexpected. And I needed after this surgery a life vest for 4 months with the defibrillator in it. And I reached out after 6 months after the surgery to the doc who did the surgery, because I was at my cardiologist and he said, "Yeah, you have great, your heart is great now. Thank God you got the surgery, blah blah." And I thought, okay, I think this doc wanna know what's happened to me after this surgery, because he saw me in surgery, he saw me one day after, and then never ever. So I sent him an email. I said, "Hello, listen, I don't know if you can remember me. I was 6 months ago on your surgery table." And he wrote me back such a lovely email. He thanked me so much. "Oh yeah, I'm surely knowing you. It was so special because you were so young and it was such an urgent need that we did the surgery. And oh, I'm so happy for you that I can see now your heart has improved." And for him, it was a really great feeling that he gets the knowledge for his great work, even if it was 6 months after. But I can send him over, "Look, I don't need 22 pills per day anymore. I need only 4.5. Now my heart rate is now this and that." And I think for him, it was, as I wrote, read in his email, he was so glad that I reached out, because I think in some situations, they want to know how it ends or how it turned out in the end. And a lot of people are only reaching out if something is not fine,
I know.
because they see it as given that it has to be good. It's a job for a doctor to make you feeling good. And I
It's
hate
funny because
that.
I will look at restaurant reviews and at hotel reviews if I'm going to travel, and I'll read the negative reviews first. I can tell if it's a person that is just a complainer, or if it's a person that truly just travels a lot and, hey, this is a heads up, this one really is no good. But you can tell because even in the tone of the review, and you could tell even with reviewers, if someone feels very strongly about a short drama, that they are complaining for a specific reason, be it, a domestic abuse one, or anything. It could be anything. There's the people that fans read because they read them religiously. And there are people that are shouting into the void, and that's all they're doing is shouting negativity.
They're saying
So
that was a crap. Okay, but
right.
why?
I think that there's both need to happen. I think actors need to see the positive and the negative to be able to grow themselves. Same thing with the, producers and directors and everything. They need to see where we went wrong, whether it's one voice or 10 voices or a million voices. If they're paying attention, they will figure out who are the screamers and who are the actual people that matter, the reviews matter from.
Did you ever get contacted by screamers because of your reviews?
No. People have been very gracious as far as reading my reviews, and if they disagree with them, they tend to not put a lot of things. I've had some negative comments, but it is what it is. It comes with the territory, right? It comes with the territories. I've even had someone come and ask me to change a review, and I specifically,
Really?
and I said that is not what my page is about.
It's my opinion and my
It's my
page.
opinion. It's my opinion, but also it's my integrity. What does it say about me if I give something a medium rating and someone asks me to change it to a higher rating? That's so I hang by my integrity. I have no problem being negative and positive, but I stand by my integrity.
Yeah, but I think that's also needed because there are some people out there, even actor, actresses, audience, it doesn't matter. They are so, what do you say? Okay, I'll try to change. Oh, I'm sorry for that. They are so unsure in what they are doing sometimes that you have to say, listen, you decide to do that, so do that. There are always some people who don't like it. There are always some people who love you
And if
for
a specific
that.
actor, and if a specific actor wants to hang by their laurels and not do a drama,
No.
you know what? The next one will. So if they
And
really need the money, I say do it. And
yeah.
you can after the fact say, hey, I wasn't 100% on board,
Yeah. And it was a
but
job, yeah.
the truth of the matter is I need to feed my kids, or I need to pay my rent. And you can't fault somebody for doing a job. There is still the doctor that chooses to give colonoscopies. Trust me, there's a job for everybody. There's a job for everybody.
So, what do you think how the verticals will, I don't know, no, not change, but go on in this future? I think there are a lot of awards now coming, a lot of more public events, even with premiere shows and stuff like that. I think we need more of that because.
I think that it's going to get bigger. I think that it's going to get bigger. I think that the awards are, I mean, there's fan awards, there's industry awards, there's awards that are handled by panel. I think that there's room for all of them because what it does is it gives you a guide of saying these dramas, these actors, these producers have been recognized by fans, by industry, by panel, and guess what? Almost always there's going to be an overlap. You know exactly who the superstars are. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. So, I think that as it grows, the more acknowledgement that they have, it can only be better. I think that the space is going to continue to grow and that some apps are going to realize that they can't continue in the space because they can't keep up as the dramas evolve, and they'll get either swallowed up or they'll get changed. I think that it's sky's the limit. When I started watching TV at 3 years old, there were four channels. There were four channels. And now we have, two channels that are dedicated just to weather.
And a lot of
And how
streaming
many to the
and
news? And how many, you know what I mean? The cable TV. When I was young, to think of a cable TV,
It was
one
too
channel is just
expensive.
going to have news? No. Who's going to watch the news 24 hours a day?
Well, our ho or my household, my parents always said, no, private TV is too expensive every month. So we got really late the private TV in my family, and then when you got it, it was a whoa, so many channels. Whoa, what, only a comic channel for kids? Whoa. And now
We could only watch TV with my parents in the living room. We didn't even have TVs in our room.
me neither.
We could only watch TV when my parents wanted to watch, And it was what they wanted to watch. And every once in a while on Saturday morning, we had cartoons. Yay. But it wasn't every
Saturday,
day, for sure. It
I
wasn't every day.
think Saturday was in every family with kids the cartoon morning shows.
Saturday morning, pancakes and cartoons. That was
And
it.
now you can watch every single minute you want to on your smartphone
Now you can watch
verticals.
whatever you want, whenever you want, really.
Let me ask you this, since you're watching verticals, did you turn on your TV less than before? Because I to be honest, I don't need at the moment a TV because I'm mostly watching verticals on my smartphone.
I have streaming apps that I also watch on my phone because remember, because I travel a lot. But yes, I have a husband at home who specifically does not watch verticals. So I still do watch TV with him.
TV,
Yes.
classic, the classic stuff. Now you can
Classics.
say.
I watched 3 episodes of Ghost yesterday.
Okay. No,
So I
because.
mean, I'm still, up to date. I'm still looking forward to, the ending of Stranger Things. I'm still looking forward to the next season of blah blah, but in between that, you give me 2 years that I'm gonna wait. Guess what I'm gonna watch in 2 years? I'm gonna watch Verticals.
Even with a shitty
Even with the shitty cliffhangers.
cliffhanger. We
Well,
need
because
more.
if I wanted the if I wanted the apple pie white picket fence story every single time, I'd go to Lifetime and Hallmark.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to have your real drama, you have to be in your real life
All
back.
stories. It's all stories, though. I mean, if you think about, again, I mentioned Grey's Anatomy. Someone sat down and wrote that. Shonda Rhimes sat and wrote that, and it all comes from someone's brain. And whether it's the original Chinese version, that original Chinese version still came from someone's brain, and you can't fault creativity. If someone is creative and someone has the confidence to put their stuff out there. You know what I don't have? Confidence. The fact that I'm sitting here on a podcast with you is such a huge thing for me, Michaela. I'll tell you, I am so afraid of speaking in public. I'm
You're
definitely.
always doing a great job also in the recaps. Come
But
on.
that's something that I have struggled with, and it's taken me to be mid-50s before I can do this. And my
Hopefully, you're
30s, in
not
my
feeling
30s.
uncomfortable.
I'm not. No,
Okay,
that's the
good.
point I'm trying to make is that somebody's choice to be creative and someone's the fact that somebody has that confidence to say, "Hey, will you read my story?" That's a huge thing. So I don't tend to knock creativity too much. I admire everybody who has the confidence to say, "Look at my work."
Yeah, you know, the thing is, when I published my cookbook, I was totally afraid because not that I thought that it wasn't good enough. I thought more, and that really happened. There were a lot of people who said to me, "Why are you publishing a cookbook? You're a studied business informatics." And I said, "Okay, but why is it forbidden to do a cookbook?" Book as an
Exactly.
informatics. Yeah, it's not so common. Yeah, bullshit. Who cares?
I'm in sales. What am I doing? I'm writing reviews for Vertigo Drama.
Yeah, that's exactly the same.
I'm in
And
sales.
I think that's the problem of a lot of people, that they expect just in one way how you have to be. And that's.
It's a very closed-minded mentality.
Yeah, and to be honest, sometimes I hope that the vertical breaks this out in showing so many different type of stories and different type of characters. And exactly the thing we spoke about, that some actors are not pigeonholed in always the same character so that they can be more flexible to show how many different types they can be. And so that's the reason why I'm hoping that some of the audience or some of the, I don't know, not
The only thing
especially.
I can say to anybody listening is, if you're creative in any way, continue doing what you're doing. And I think that I commend your confidence in putting yourself out there. I think that talent is something that can be learned, but it is natural. for the most
Yeah.
part. If you're good at what you do, it will come out and that you're good at what you do.
And if
And
you, as long as.
I commend anybody that does it. And to the voices that want to squash
Yeah.
that voice, that want to squash that talent, because they don't agree with something, the nightly news can be 10 times more violent.
Yeah.
There are plenty of shows on network TV that have been 10 times more violent. Real life is 10 times more violent. If it's a story, it's a story. If it's something that they got because they read a news headline, it's not a matter of insensitivity. It's a matter of them trying to tell a story a different way.
Yeah.
I really do respect people for writing the stories and for acting the stories and for directing and for everything. I think that the creatives is something that not a lot of us can do. That's why there are not as many of them.
Yeah.
Because if all of us were meant to be actors, we would be 7 billion actors on the planet.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that would be a bit of a problem. No, I think exactly that's what it is. The verticals are a possibility for them to work, but also to do what they really love. And I think you see exactly who loves his or her job in acting,
Exactly.
because they are playing so badly good roles. As Saint Claudio, for example, told me in his episode, he said, "If the people are hate me after watching a vertical, I did a great job." And he's
I've hated him plenty.
Yeah, I told him also, okay, Zane, I really hated you for that. And he said, yeah, okay, that's a compliment for me
That just
because
means
that
they did
means that
great, right?
I did a great job. And I think that's the way also everyone in this vertical space has to see it. Even if you sometimes get criticized, if it's with a reason, you can improve and you can grow on that kind of words. But
There's a very famous line in Hollywood that's basically there is no such thing as bad press.
yeah, no,
Because
we are
if they're
always,
talking about you, whether they're talking good or bad, they're talking about you.
yeah.
Be worried when they're no longer talking about you.
Yeah, so we talked till now a lot, Dahlia, and I want to do a 5-question quickie to the end of this episode I'm doing with everyone. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
What's your favorite dish? Because I judge people by food, you know.
My favorite dish, really a lot Mexican. I'm a big taco fan. I love Mexican cuisine.
You know, a lot of people said tacos, but you know what the worst is? Here in Germany, you cannot get tacos. I never had tacos in my
Tacos,
life.
anything in a tortilla. Could you have flour tortillas? Do you have any kind of flour or corn disc that you can put something in?
Yeah, kind of.
Anything could be a taco.
Yeah, but tacos are more crispy, aren't they?
No,
No?
no.
Because here in Germany, it's not very common to get Mexican food. I want to try good tacos so deeply.
You
Shit.
should be able to get somewhere in one of the bigger cities. No?
Yeah, maybe who told me? One of the actors told me that he makes really great tacos. Who was it?
Or I'll send
I
you a
don't.
recipe. I'll send you a recipe.
Yes, please, because I want to try them. What's so fascinating about tacos? Maybe I
Well,
have to fly over to the US. That would be
that
the
you need to
easiest.
do. You
That
need to
would
do
be
that
the
regardless.
easiest way, I think, to get really good tacos. Yeah,
Yes.
no tacos. Okay, yeah, please send me a recipe. I have to try that. Maybe I will do a cooking
A
video
cooking
out of it.
podcast. There you go.
Yeah, like, or I do. I asked Nick Abedian to do a live cooking. Did you saw his ratatouille
He does. He does.
lately?
Yeah.
I had with him a meet and greet at WordFest. Oh bullshit, I want to see him as a cook in a vertical. Because
That would
he's
be great.
really qualified as a cook one. Yeah. So, tacos. Okay. Yeah.
Question two.
Well, okay, I will try that. What kind of film you like actually?
Do you want a specific film or a genre?
No, if there is a catching eye lifetime film you have rewatched so many times, for
For me, it's
example.
The Princess Bride. The Princess Bride, I think I've seen more than 100 times, and the Star Wars series.
The Princess Bite?
The Princess Bride.
Ah,
Princess
Bride.
Bride.
Do I know that
It's
one?
I think it's been around now for 25, 30 years. But it's a very popular movie.
With who in it?
It is Cary Elwes and Robin Wright.
I have to Google it. I'm not
The
sure.
Princess Bride. It's great. It's got funny. It's funny. It's comedy. It's got romance. It's a great movie.
Okay, if you have watched it over 100 times, it should be great. I think so.
It is. It's a great movie.
What type of music you like? What's your favorite song at the moment?
At the moment, it won't be anything modern. I'm deeply rooted in the 80s and 90s.
Me too.
Yeah, deeply rooted in the 80s and 90s. But I guess I tend more towards pop rock, a little bit more, not necessarily rock metal, but rock that has a little bit more of a rhythm.
For example,
Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight.
oh yes,
Like
yeah.
that. Anything Bon Jovi. I've never missed a Bon Jovi concert.
Oh, Bon Jovi are great.
I
I
just.
like also the Foo Fighters. They're
Friday
also
night, I
great.
went to the Sting concert. So.
Oh, Sting.
I love Sting.
That's Sting is also nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
There's a lot of music. I mean, music is, all around us. So.
Yeah, so that comes to the next question. Which genre you want to see more in verticals, musicals, for example?
I'm fine with musicals and dancing. I think that there's a space for it if they can get the spacing right, because verticals tend to be a very personal thing. I think that dancing and musicals tends to be big numbers. So if they can do that correctly, then yes, I would love to see
Maybe you
musicals.
can get soundtrack to a vertical.
Yes, that's for sure. That's for sure. I'm more of a supernatural. Give me all of the werewolves, vampires, pirates. Give me mystical, give me I'm all about the supernatural. I love supernatural. Or
Supernatural.
medieval, or like period dramas.
Yeah, that's good because of the costumes also the
Of
period.
course, the concert, yeah.
They have all the periods I saw lately had so great costumes. Oh,
Love
damn
it.
shit. That's
Love
really
it.
good. If I come to you and say, okay, Dahlia, I'm new to this vertical stuff. Which one I should definitely watch? What would you say to me?
I would say Fated Deal with the Mafia King with Jay Cobbs and Brittany Marsacek for sure. And Gio Duvall.
Yeah.
Next would be 30 Days Until I Marry My Husband's Nemesis, which is Mark Vega and Brittany Marsacek on Real Short.
Yeah.
And third would be, for a supernatural twist, is Fated My Forbidden Vampire, which is Brooke
Oh,
and
yes.
Paco. And Molly Anderson. No, I'm sorry, Kyra. That's Kyra. That Kira,
Kira,
wisely. It's not Molly.
wisely,
There's
yeah.
that's another one. That's my Heartless Alpha.
Why are you so good in all the titles? I forgot mostly of the titles. I know the storylines, but I mostly forgot the titles. I'm
I have
really
a
bad.
list. I have a list.
A magical Excel list or what?
I have a list with 1600 verticals that I've watched.
1600? You watched so
1600.
far?
I have the name. I have the name of the lead actor, the lead actress, some of the supporting cast, the villain, the genre, the channel, my rating, and a description of what's in the vertical.
Holy! For what you do that?
I do it so that I can, if I have to re review back and someone says, "Hey, I want to watch a vertical that has to do with werewolves," I can pull up the 50 werewolf verticals that I have had top rated and give it to them.
Oh, that's great. Ha! You're smart. You're really smart, Dahlia.
Well, I'm a spreadsheet junkie, so I tend to write stuff down so I don't repeat.
Yeah, that's good. That's also good. Yeah, so hopefully you will watch many more of the vertical stuff
I hope
and
so.
you
And
will
critique
be.
many more as well.
I think that's important. I love your reviews, to be honest.
Thank
I
you.
read it from the start, really from the start when you started it. Because, you know, sometimes for me it's great to get a first impression of a vertical when I'm not sure should I purchase a membership or not. I just want to know roundabout what it's about and if there are good chances that I like it or not.
Well, the great thing is that they have enough wherewithal to do a good chunk of episodes before the paywall. If they can give you 8 or 9 episodes before a paywall, at least you can decide if you are emotionally invested in an actor, in a character, not in an actor, in a character. You have to want to see what happens next to the character.
Yeah, but mostly after 10 episodes and you hit the paywall, the story gets flat some a
Sometimes.
lot. Yeah. I
But
but
that's what
they
those
are
users for.
working, but they are working on it. I have the
They are.
feeling that they are working on it. So we still have to work on the monthly recaps, and I'm really happy that you join always because you are really a lot watching person, and I really appreciate that. So it was really nice talking to you in
Was lovely to talk to you.
private, in private, let's call it in private, and talk to you soon. And thanks very much for joining me for this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Dahlia, keep it going with your reviews, please.
Keep it vertical.
Yeah. Have a nice day, called Dahlia.
You
Bye.
too. Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.